RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Well, as hopefully many of you know, there is an election about to happen within the UK, within the United Kingdom. It's a big deal. And so I am now very, very pleased to welcome a friend of mine, Sunil Sharma. He's the CEO of the Global Conservative Coalition, amongst many other roles. But Sunil is a man who very much has his finger on the pulse of politics. So Sunil, welcome along.
Thank you, Simon. Excited to be on.
If it's not imprudent, firstly, congratulations on getting married. I'm sure that you've got many better things to do than talking to a radio host here in New Zealand, but I'm just delighted in news of your marriage, and so congratulations.
Thanks a lot. It's been a busy few months as we were talking off air, but excited for this new chapter of my life, and as mentioned, can't wait to at some point, we both can't wait to come visit you and see more of New Zealand and Australia.
Well, this is the irony to listeners that I've spoken and known Sunil for a number of years. We've talked politics and interviewed and engaged each other, but we've not actually met. So we'll have to do that. But of course, you've come back from wedding and honeymoon to an election in the UK. So to start, really basically, this is not unusual. This is part of your usual, is it, five-year cycle? Just talk us through the simplistics, if you will, of why we're at an election at this stage at the UK.
Yeah, sure. So UK, we have to hold an election within 5 years. So Rishi Sunak had up until January of 2025 to hold this election. In January, it would be essentially compulsory. He's decided to call it early in July. There's a number of reasons. Some people are citing that he's done this. The reduction in inflation seems to be the biggest point in terms of him calling the election. Polling-wise, the Conservative Party for the last, maybe you could almost say 2-3 years now, hasn't really been polling great. So it seems like that was the bit of news that probably kick-started his decision to actually host this election. But it's an exciting period. But also a bit of a worrying period for, if you like, UK Conservatives, because polling-wise, it's looking pretty terrible, and it would take a very, very, very big shock to see something, to see a change, and to see that the Conservative Party remain.
So was it quite a surprise to you and those in the UK that he called the election when he did? It seemed to come out of the blue, including him standing out in the rain, and I wouldn't mind, if it's not putting you on the spot, understanding whether that was a good look or not.
It was definitely a surprise. The general consensus is that the Conservative Party are going to lose, and it's felt like that for quite some time now. So a lot of people expect him to hold as long as he can till that January enforced date. So I think a lot of people expected it more to be planned December, November. We have like our annual conference convention, if you like, in end of September, early October. So I think a lot of people thought he may wait till then to kind of rally the troops, rally the activists. It's a 3-day conference, and to get the party more on his side here. As you may know, that there's been quite a few Conservative party leaders in the last 3 to 4 years. So we haven't really had a lot of like stability as a party. So I think it was definitely a surprise for a lot of people that he's decided to do these elections. I think it seems to be on the back of the bit of good news with regards to inflation that he's decided to do this. But it definitely was a surprise. And I think the announcement where he did it sort of in the rain without an umbrella, I mean, it took quite a lot of the news cycle. I think a lot of people are using it as another example of the sort of ill-prepared government of our party at the moment. It's an interesting time. And unfortunately, since he's announced the election, not a lot has changed in terms of a public sentiment towards the Conservative Party. So it's a really kind of worrying time, if you like, for Conservatism in the UK. With Labour almost seemingly going to sort of ease their way into power without having to really say or do much As you'll know, everyone has sort of manifestos in the build up to these elections, and it's really surprising when you look at the Labour Party manifesto and the severe lack of detail in there, which is something that you would expect to see a lot more in there.
It echoes a bit of what we saw in Australia in the last election. I was trying to be a little bit political or partisan, and that the Labour Party under Albanese just kept a very low target. And actually, to be fair with you, Sunil, in the last election for the National Party, so a reverse here in New Zealand, very similar, low target, little being promised. So, I mean, how many years, again, for listeners to understand, have the Conservatives been in power in the United Kingdom?
Since 2010, that they did have a coalition at some point with the Lib Dems, where they didn't get enough majority at the start. But since 2010, it's been a Conservative-led government. I think the unfortunate thing in the last 3 to 4 years, we've had multiple leaders. We've had Theresa May, Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, and Rishi Sunak all in the space of 5 years. Which for a party being in power is pretty bad. And at one point we had three leaders in the space of a year. So there is a general sentiment, as mentioned in my title, I am a bit biased in terms of who I want to see win. But as a party, the Conservative Party, I've had many leaders, and it's been a really difficult phase, I think, for a lot of Conservatives in the sense of that we've almost been hurting each other in a public way for everyone to watch, and I think that's the real sentiment now in terms of a lot of people have lost trust within the Conservative Party, and it's a really difficult job now in terms of trying to regain that trust in an election. The fortunate side for the Conservative Party on the other side, we're not seeing many of the Conservative voters switching to Labour. So we've had a few by-elections here. So I don't know if that's a thing that happens in New Zealand, but for us, when somebody resigns or when somebody decides to quit the party, or somebody who wants to change their job and no longer be an MP, we hold by-elections which happen outside of the election cycle. And in the most recent by-elections, the Labour vote in all those elections barely increased, if increased at all. Some of these elections, they actually got less votes than what they got previously. But the big, big shift and change has been Conservatives voters not coming out to vote. So the voter turnout's been low in all three by-elections. And that has been a massive, massive a point where it seems Sir Keir Starmer, which is the leader of the Labour Party and what most people expect to be the next Prime Minister of our country, hasn't necessarily won over any Conservative-led voters. But the big difference is the Conservative-led voters are just not voting. And now, worryingly, a new party's come into the picture in Reform, and those now voters have an opportunity to vote elsewhere, whereas for the last 14 years, you could argue the only Conservative-led voice that they've had is the Conservative Party, which is no longer the case now, which is another worrying aspect for Rishi Sunak and his government.
So there's certainly some elements which will be familiar to New Zealanders here. We don't have too many MPs switching parties or leaving. Those who try to tend to just lose and get wiped out, but we are very familiar with certainly the by-election dynamic overall, and we're certainly used to, I'm used to it, having been in Parliament, when your party's in trouble, your own voters don't tend to turn out. They're not, I hope I'm not putting words in your own mouth, but voters from your own political party, they're never going to vote for the other side, but if they're disappointed in your own trajectory, it's easier to stay at home. So a low turnout doesn't surprise me. So I suppose the question really, Sunil, is this really a case of potentially, because of course we've got to wait for the election result, but where polling's going, is this more a case of the Conservatives losing than the likes of Labour or Keir Starmer winning?
I think definitely. I think that's definitely a case. You know, I've been campaigning across UK this election, and I would say the polling, I don't think it's representative of that, like in terms of what we're hearing on doorsteps. But there is no doubt that the Conservative Party are losing this election as opposed to Labour winning this election. It's very different from when we're going back almost 20 years with Tony Blair, when he was the leader of the Labour Party, who was somebody who was winning over Conservative voters. He'd successfully shown that he was somebody who could be trusted. He successfully had shown that he could provide law and order, if you like, into the country. He had successfully shown that, you know, he believed in elements of capitalism, and he'd done a lot of stuff that was able to win the Conservative voters. This is a completely different scenario. A lot of the Labour cabinet is still made up of people from the Jeremy Corbyn campaign, who was somebody who got completely wiped out in 2019 by Boris Johnson. And for listeners, somebody who was very much believing in quite strong left-wing ideology, in terms of somebody who wanted to essentially buy out energy companies, nationalise pretty much everything, all the way from the internet to railway companies, pretty much, you'd say a really strong socialist. And I think what the Labour Party has done in this election, or in the last couple of years, is essentially keep a bit more of a lower profile, whilst we as a party, the Conservative Party, have almost torn lumps out of each other in a public way, which is really now transcending into a what seemingly will be like a pretty bad election for the Conservative Party. That there is, I think, silent hope for the election afterwards. I know it's going to be a long time away, but in the sense that it is Sir Keir Starmer they're up against, and not a young, if you like, charismatic Tony Blair with a really strong, effective team. So there is that hope, but now the Conservative Party have to deal with almost another problem, which is the rising emergence of Nigel Farage and the Reform Party. So that's another obstacle that the party will have to try and navigate themselves around.
I'd love to talk about Farage. Let's get to him in a moment. But are there any issues that are really, well, are there like a top three series of issues in the UK at the moment that people are really focused on, or are people over it? Are they just over politics and just expecting, in this case, a Labour win, or are they really debating housing or inflation or the economy or national security? What's happening in that space?
I mean, there's some clear problems here. Like, inflation has been cut, but we're still in a bit of a cost of living crisis. Immigration is definitely a massive talking point. I mean, people are saying that the Conservative Party are losing around 19%, if not more, of their votes from immigration, from their lack of being able to stop the boats. So we have a number of illegal refugees that come into the country. And generally, the Conservative Party, you know, one of our remits has been, since Brexit, was to control immigration. Our net migration has not been remotely controlled. Yeah, I think if you ask the average voter, will the Labour Party sort some of these issues out? They wouldn't be able to give you a convincing yes to some of these issues. But I think it's an election, what you'll see is almost an election revolt against the Conservative Party as opposed to anything else. And then it's up to Sir Keir Starmer over the next 3 to 4 years to try and win. To try and keep these voters within his party, and to try and convert some of the conservative-minded voters that he's probably not going to get from this election. So it's a real, it's a really tricky one, where the big problem is for the Conservative Party is just there's a real lack of credibility now, with the fact that we've had three leaders in such a short space of time, where we've almost publicly torn lumps out of each other. So it's a really tough environment for any of the Conservative candidates and existing MPs standing, who I think I've got extreme amount of sympathy for, because a lot of them have not been it's got nothing to do with them. They've not been at fault for a lot of this, but unfortunately Just, I think, 14 years of power. It's that there are signs of something that happened almost with post Margaret Thatcher here in the UK, and maybe similar to aspects in New Zealand, Australia, where, when a party's been in power for this long, and you start to see almost a self destruction, which is very concerning, but hopefully is something that will be resolved after this election.
Look, it's certainly something I've witnessed down here in New Zealand in terms of just rolling through leaders that people are just over you. They just don't listen and you end up with devastating results. And if I might, the sad thing is that really good candidates, doesn't matter if they're on the left or right, but, you know, I think back in my days, really good, hardworking MPs lost their seats because your leadership, the party was completely shattered. But, I mean, we will see. The elections have not yet happened. I'm not trying to predict a miracle from down here in the colonies, but it looks like a hard road ahead. And part of it is dear old Nigel Farage. He's back. I mean, why is he making such an impact?
His big impact, you could almost blame the Conservative Party in some ways for his he is making huge strides with his party in Reform UK. A lot of the issues that people expected the Conservative Party to solve or have an impact on, they haven't. And he is talking about stuff that Conservative voters want to see resolved, immigration being a massive one, the general housing crisis, cost of living crisis, the reducing taxes. He's got some very standard and simple conservative-minded philosophies, which a big criticism of Rishi Sunak's led government, and even parts of Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson's government has been the fact that the Conservative Party hasn't been conservative. It's been a really reoccurring theme for the last few years, where very basic conservative values are just not being adhered to. So, for example, we have the highest rate of tax for over 70 years. So we are, you know, the tax rate in the UK is higher now under a conservative-led government than it was under a Tony Blair, Labour, left-leaning government, which is something that you'd never expect to happen. So I think there's a real frustration in terms of, if you like, grassroots conservatism. And what's worrying is it's trickling across the country. This is something now that's almost been translated into everything. So I saw recently, or just yesterday, in terms of funding, so how much each party is getting, if you like, per week from donations. And Reform UK, who are, you know, are a very new party, they have received more than three times donations that the Conservative Party has. Large Conservative donors, members, you know, your standard everyday people are switching from Conservative to Reform. They have a membership base that is growing exponentially. The Conservative base is reducing for the party. So Nigel Farage has really positioned himself as a serious, serious problem for the Conservative Party. And in theory, and the reality is, Reform, just with the way our system is in this country, they're likely to win between 3 to maybe 10 seats. There's over 630 seats. So in terms of parliamentary capacity, they're not going to do a lot in terms of winning seats. And they're not going to be the main opposition in terms of numbers. But what they will do is really seriously hurt the Conservative vote, because for a long time, when you go to vote here in the UK and you're conservative-minded, you only have one option to vote, which is the Conservative Party. That's now going to change at this ballot when you go to tick your box in our election on July the 4th. And what that may mean is you may see some splits going on where usually a Conservative MP will always win in a seat where there's no chance that there will be any chance of another party winning. The voter now may vote instead of voting Conservative Reform, which may inadvertently mean that Labour win more seats, which is a real serious problem. I think people are projecting, because of Reform, Labour will win considerably more seats than they were expected to win in the first place, just simply by the splitting of vote, because now not only will some conservative voters who are not going to vote, there's now some that were maybe planning to vote that may vote Reform, Nigel Farage's party. So his rise in the last, you're talking a month or so, has been really, really, really strong, which I think people expect.
Remarkable. It's remarkable to watch from here. Look, at many of the things you're discussing actually echo similar dynamics here. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you and the rest of the UK are going to have to live with the decisions. But if I might put it this way, it's just absolutely fascinating to me and a number of people down here to watch what is happening. And it's happened so far. So we're going to have to get you back, if that's okay, after the election. If it goes as bad as you're expecting, maybe we'll leave you a few weeks to drown your sorrow, so to speak. But let's see. I mean, July 4th, it's still around the corner. Let's see how it goes.
No, definitely. It will be, election season is always exciting. It's a really tough one as a Conservative to get excited about this election, just with how things are going. But I think Farage is definitely, if anything, he's added a bit of spice to the election. So, yeah, definitely would be great to come back on afterwards and to discuss what exactly has happened afterwards.
Well, Sunil, thank you so much for sharing your impressions of what's happening. I definitely will have you back on, and just thanks so much.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.